Amen. If you'll take your hymn book and turn to number 2, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. We're going to pray first. It's good to have everybody here today. Father, I ask that you bless as we sing. Thank you, Lord, for your Sunday, your day, for letting us be here today. Pray, Lord, we'll do our best to love you, be obedient, hear your word, and use it in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. See you this morning. It's such a pretty day outside. I'll tell you, it's been beautiful for the last few days. A little cool in the air, but it makes it nice. And it's supposed to be this nice weather all the way through Saturday. So we'll have a nice week ahead of us, and we're looking forward to that. Glad that you're here today. Hope the Lord's been good to you, blessing you. I know he's been taking care of us, and we're looking forward to that. A few announcements in the bulletin this morning that we need to go over. And first one, of course, we have a baby shower coming up for Miss Candace Tolentino. That's Miss Cindy Estrey's daughter. It'll be next Sunday, the 30th, here at church when it's over in the afternoon, right after afternoon service is over. They are having a girl. They found that out. Amen. And Isabella, they're going to be, because of Miss Candace's past, bless heart, she's, long as she's been pregnant, she's always had babies early, very early. And they're going to go ahead and have this baby on April the 8th. And so you'll be praying for them. Be praying for that God will bless and take care of them. But the nursery colors are pink and purple. Outside theme, owl, butterflies, etc. And there's other items, too. If you didn't get one of these ladies, you want one. My wife has them, and you're welcome to see her. She'll give you one, tell you about it. But we're going to do that next week and invite you to be here part of that, if you will. Also, this week starts our biannual week of prayer. We're going to be praying this week, just praying for each other, praying for the church, praying for God's will to be done. On that back table back there is a basic sheet for prayer, Monday through Sunday. Just sign a day you're going to pray. Amen. Whatever time is convenient to you is fine, but you're going to pray on Monday, that's fine. You're going to pray every day of the week, that's fine too. And we know we pray differently for each day. Sunday, we pray for the lost the next week, but then Monday we'll be praying for family members. Pray on Monday for your family members by name. We got a list of them. I know you don't have a problem putting the outlaws on top of your list, amen. We always think they need prayer, but the in-laws do too, amen. And put them on there, and then put yourself last, because we do need to pray for ourselves that God will help us, give us wisdom. And then Tuesday, praying for preachers. I did make a partial list on the back of some preachers and left the family and friends and lost people open. You can put your own in there, and more if you want to, that's fine. And then Wednesday for missionaries and praying for them. And you may know other missionaries that you pray for, that's fine. And then praying for church workers, praying for our city, Millington, on Friday. Then Saturday, be praying for our church. And be back here on Sunday praying for each other. That God will bless and help us in that day. So this is just a pocket reminder to take with you and to keep at hand next to your table, next to your bedside, where you do your Bible study, your Bible reading, where you pray before going to bed. And you can pick this up and you can read through the list and pray. And by name, ask God to bless and meet those needs. And the Lord will give you a great week, I guarantee, if you'll do that. We're thankful for how he's blessing. Looking forward to this afternoon's series that we're on, Brother King and I, and What Are You? And looking forward to that. I'm thankful. Brother King was great last week. I enjoyed it. I got a lot of things out of it. Birthdays are mentioned there. Brother Chips, pray for them. They had to work today. And that God will bless. Church anniversary, next Sunday we'll be celebrating that. That's 26 years. We're glad that God's let us be around that long. Doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it has, and we're certainly glad for that. It's also the baby shower, and bring your chain study. Don't forget that. We use that for the maintenance. We just about got the weather on our side where we can get some things done and not be stuck off because of the weather, so we'll be doing that real soon. Special prayer, Brother Ronnie's still in Papa Point, needs prayer as he recovers, and Sarah, well, she's still at St. Jude, I believe. What, she's home now? Okay. So she's in and out of St. Jude. I put it there for that because for 4 months, one every week, she'll be going to do treatments, and so I'll be praying for her. Also, there's a note there, pray for Brother Hyatt. Brother Joe Hyatt and Miss Louise are our missionaries. We've been supporting them for years. Brother Joe and his family had a serviceman center on Highway 51 many years ago for about 12 of the 14 years that they were ministering in this area before he felt led to go to the hospital, especially the VA, and win men to the Lord there. I went to the funeral yesterday. He passed away this last week. He'd been in the home for a while. We knew he'd been deteriorating. He had dementia and other things, and it just set in, and finally the Lord took him home. So you pray for Miss Louise and the family that God will bless and take care of them. That's some precious memories, I'll tell you. Since he started working, there was a huge list, a long list. I mean, it was several sheets long of men he's led to the Lord at the VA hospital. Just in the last few years, he's been going there before he's gotten sick, and that's been the last 5 years. So I don't know how many years at all. Not that many that he was at the VA, but he won just a bunch to the Lord. And Matter of fact, this week, Brother Gambrell said they got an email and a letter and a call from a GI somewhere in the United States and the world. They're calling to see how they're doing, to remind them that they had gotten saved under Brother Hyatt's ministry. And we're thankful for that. So we're glad that their testimony still goes on in the lives of these people. So thankful for that. You can also write Brother Tyler. We got his address at the bottom. If you'd like to do that, I'll tell you how. We made it easy for you. On the back table, there's some white plain envelopes. Got a piece of paper inside that's empty. It's got his address on it. All you need to do is take an envelope, write him a letter, put your return address and a stamp on it, and drop it in the mailbox. He'll get it at boot camp. He loves mail call down there. Plain letters don't draw attention. He'll get the letter and get to read it. It'll be an encouragement to him. There's plenty of them back there. We'll have more later. But if you didn't get one on the way out. Put it aside of your things during handshaking song, whatever you need to do while we're eating meal. Make sure you get one, and it's got his address on there already. And that way you can write Brother Tyler and tell him you miss him. Praying for him. He'd love to hear from you. He would thank the Lord for you being there. And it would be a blessing indeed, I guarantee you, if you do that for him. And then we're just thankful for all that the Lord's done for us. Glad you're here today. You should be praying for the services that God will bless. I'd like you to take the Word of God this morning and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 22. Would you stand with us as we read God's Word together? Matthew 22. We'll start in verse 15. Go through the 22nd verse of Matthew 22. Familiar story in the events of Christ's life. Been studying through his life in Sunday school, and this is another one this morning. Matthew 22, verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And he sent out, and they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Then Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me a tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. And then he said unto them, Render, therefore, unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Lord, I ask you to help us today. I want to thank you for the Word of God and for the truth that we can always find if we're looking in your mind of God's goodness in your Word. Lord, what we will say this morning, you've given us. And we pray that what we'll say is what you've given me, and that what we'll hear, we'll use and take it from you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. God bless you again and for being faithful and being here. The Pharisees are probably, they're probably the most rascal bunch you've ever seen. They are very professional at being what they are. They are trying to find a way to trick Christ. That's what they're after. They want to trick him. They actually want to entangle him in his words that they might have reason to bring him to court. I laughed when I read that verse. Not because I didn't believe it or it's funny, but I laughed because of the humor in it. I thought to myself, how foolish men are to think they can entangle a God that knows everything. You don't entangle a God that knows everything. He knows how to answer, and he can, he will. They sent out their best trainers. The Herodians were legalistic, very trained in the laws of the day. And given what they say by introduction and what they ask is a total contradiction. That's why Christ said, why tempt ye me? Why are you guys playing with me? Why are y'all yanking my chain? If you want to put it in modern terminology, you know, I ain't got time wasting on you guys. Fiddle stuff you're messing with. They come out and they say, Master. They use a very dignified title. They don't believe he's master more than anything in the world. Master. We know that thou art true. If that was true, they wouldn't be needing to ask him the next question then, would they? They're really setting him up, they think. We know that thou art true. And teach us the way of God in truth. Again, if they thought that was true, they wouldn't have asked the next question. If he's teaching the way of God in truth, then let me ask you this. Why didn't they obey what he said? Why haven't they ever obeyed what he said? Now, this is the only passage that says that they marveled. that it literally astounded them. He literally surprised them. This was a great answer. This is a phenomenal answer. It's not one they could disagree with. They believed it. Matter of fact, in principle, probably the Pharisees were doing it. But it's not why they asked it. And teach us the way of God and truth. Neither carest thou for any man. For thou regardest not the person of men. In other words, he's not saying you don't care for people. He's just saying you don't make somebody special. You care for everybody. Everybody's equal to you. And then they say, tell us therefore. And I love this question, don't you? What thinkest thou? What you thinking? If you believe God is all truth, why are you asking what you think? May I remind you of something? God doesn't think. Thinking is reasoning to come to a truth. Thinking is reasoning to come to a value. God does not do that. God already has truth, for He is truth. He doesn't need to think about it. God already knows value because He is the only thing that's of value for eternity's sake. So therefore, He doesn't need to think about it. What thinkest thou? The only thinking, if they were asking Him, this word thinking is, they wanted to know what is His reasoning. Not what's on your mind, son. Because what was on His mind is what He asked next. Why y'all tempting me, you hypocrites? I mean, he literally kind of corked them a little bit. He gave them their sin in a nice, kind way, very firm and blunt. He said, y'all are about the business of trying to tempt me because y'all hypocrites. It's obvious to everybody here, you hypocrite. You claim that I'm the man that knows all truth and I got all truth, but you don't do what I ask you. He'd already been down that road. It's just amazing that they come up with these questions and answers. And then He says to them, you got a coin on you? Got a nickel? Anybody got a coin? And they bring Him a coin. And then He doesn't say anything still. He's asked the question, do you have a coin? They brought one. Now He asked another question. What's on it? What does it say, the inscription? What's written here? Whose picture's on this? If I ask you to pull a coin out right now and ask you to tell me what's written on it, whose picture's on it, I know it's going to be a president. And if you tell me the president, I could tell you the amount of the money. If you've got American coin on you. I mean, I know those. But I've seen them enough. And Jesus then says this phenomenal message that I want us to hear today. He said, render, therefore, unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. The things that are the things that are Caesar's, the things that are God's. There are those things in this world that belong to the government. It's theirs. We're glad we have a government. I'm glad we have a government of the United States of America. I'm glad that we call him Uncle Sam for a short by name. But I'm glad we have a government that is, as Abraham Lincoln said, of the people, for the people, and by the people. I'm glad we have one. But I'm reminded that government is great. And there are those things that belong to Caesar, that belong to the government. And there are those things that belong to God. It's remarkable, isn't it? Jesus said, show me the tribute money. There was a government coin. There was something that belonged to the government. Monetary, the coin. Not a particular one in mind, but the fact that they existed. You probably have some coins in your purse or your pocket or your wallet, your purse, money pouch or whatever in your belongings even now. My brother at times doesn't have money. At times we don't. He said, I may be broke, but I'm never poor. I said, how's that? He said, financially, I may be broke, but I'm never poor. He always takes a handful of change and throws it under the seats of the vehicles he owns. And he said, wherever I go, I may be broke, but I'm not poor. He said, it's an emotional thing, mental thing with me, and I know I'm never poor. I've got a few coins, shekels, hidden under a seat. I remember working with my dad on cars as a kid growing up, and that was one of the fun things I got to do. I got to pull that back seat up out of those old cars. Remember how it popped down back in there? You pull that old seat up, and people sit in that back seat, coins just, I think they manufactured them seats so your money roll out your pockets. Man, I found over $5 in coins one time in an old Chevy station wagon. Made me want to look in every Chevy car that ever passed by and got in my driveway. I just want to dig that seat up and take a peek. Find all coins, kind of things down in there. There are things that belong to the government. There are things that belong to God. They said, is it lawful? You see, this world today is only interested in one thing. They're interested in that which is legal. What can we get away with by law? It's sad, isn't it? My wife said something to me yesterday, and I didn't get defensive to her. I wanted to be defensive. I didn't want to think that our country's like that, but let's be honest, looks like it is. Doesn't look like it's going to be much longer now till every state in the union will be recognizing gay marriage. God's word does not. It does not recognize. God calls it sodomy, calls it a sin, calls it an abomination. Now, they can change those laws all they want. That will not change God's word. They can change those laws, and a man will marry a man and a woman will marry a woman, but the woman and the woman will never give birth to a child of their own. They'll still have to have the other sex's help somehow. And they're doing it. And out of that's coming some of the wildest lawsuits you've ever heard, where they get divorced and the woman, one of them, is actually the birth mother with a surrogate donation from some guy, yet the one that's not the mother sues and gets custody rights also because they had that child in their union. The laws are getting stretched out, aren't they, folks? You see, there are those things that belong to the government, and there's those things that belong to God. And today we're seeing mankind trying to stick his hand in the till on what belongs to God. God said, Jesus said, render unto Caesar and render unto God. The word render is a unique word. It's not the word that means let take it from you. If I'm going to take it from you, you aren't rendering it. You know, most people, most Christians today, I've heard Christians say, when I hear Brother Jim mention Sunday school this morning about tithing, and the area of tithing, and they'll say, yeah, I can't afford to give. I've never heard anybody say I can't afford tax. Brother Don, I'm just not going to. You know what? I do believe that we have more Christians in jail ministries than we do in pews if the government lets you get all your money first and then sends you a bill for the taxes. Some of us would be saying, but I can't afford the tax. I have too many bills, Uncle Sam. Aren't you glad God's all merciful? Because the government's not. Right. See, the government operates off what's called the letter of the law. You don't pay, then you go away. That's their law, amen. And we would have Christians that literally would try that on the government. I'm destitute. I'm poverty stricken. I can't afford the tax. We'd have them try that. I know we would. And I believe most of those that did it probably are Baptist. Why? Because they're doing it to God when they sit in the pew saying, I can't afford to tithe. You see, what belongs to Caesar, we render. When's the last time you ever heard a Christian say, hey, listen, I enjoy giving my taxes? Now, listen, I'll be honest with you. It sounds silly, but think about it for a moment. The government has to have money to protect us. Those men and women that are wearing uniforms today, my son-in-law in boot camp, hopefully will make it all the way through and get out and go into service full time. Listen to me. Those men and women, they get paid, and that's not money they got on the ground somewhere, and they don't pray it in an old brush arbor somewhere. Our government has to pay them, and we have taxes for some of that reason. Yes, I know our government uses the tax money in ways they shouldn't use it, but may I remind you that when I release it to my government, it's no longer my responsibility legitimately. Ultimately, as a member of this nation, it is, but not legitimately. I've done my part. If they mess it up there in the big house, then it's my job to replace them with somebody that won't. You see, when we give to the church, it's no different. When you give your tithe, you've done your part. You've obeyed God. If the church itself uses it wisely or don't use it wisely, people said, well, I tithe, but that church, they're not using it right. Try that on the government next time. Not going to give my taxes because I don't like the way you're using it. I may not like the way they're using it, but may I remind you that the letter of the law is going to hunt you down. You are going to suffer. May I tell you that your God in heaven can make you suffer worse than the government can ever imagine? There's not imagination the government can come up with worse than what God can do. You say, well, you're making God out to be a big bully. Let me tell you something. He's an almighty, all-righteous, all-knowing, all-powerful God. And He specified some things in His Word. You know what? The difference between God and the government is this. God will reward you and bless you for rendering what's His. And if you choose to render what's Caesar's. You see, we have too many Christians that sit in the pews of God's churches today who render unto God with a good heart, but they don't render to their government with the same. It's still unscriptural for us not to render our taxes, just as it would be if we didn't render our tithes. You say, why in the world this subject come up? Because it's what God wants us to see today. This one word, render, is amazing. It's the word that means to give willingly, lovingly, because you are belonging to what you're giving. You have an attachment. I have a family. I render my body to work. I render my life to work, to task. Why? That I might earn money, something with buying power, that I might feed, shelter, and protect, educate, and advance my family. I render my body. I do it willingly. We call that love. God was literally saying to the scribes and Pharisees that day, listen to me, choose to love your government, choose to love your God. Render is a response from one who loves and appreciates what's going on. Now, do you realize he was talking to Jews that were in bondage? They didn't walk in one day and say, hey, Rome, we'd love you to manage us for 10 years. No, they got took over. But that was God's timing also. You see, nothing's by accident in God's way. When Jesus was born in that manger, did you know that that was the height and glory days of the Roman Empire? Did you know because of the Roman Empire, roads had been built? Aqueducts had been built. Land had been taught. Irrigations had been done. Rome was at its height in the industry. It was at its height in that of manufacturing. It was at its height in world dominance in the area of the economic benefit it could provide for its people, just to know side things. They may have built them roads so their soldiers could get somewhere in a hurry, but may I remind you, God knew what he was doing, and Christ came in the time and season God had set aside. Made it easy for Joseph and Mary to make their way back to their home city. They didn't have to find some hidden path through a mountain. They could ride the roads that the Romans built. Taxes aren't all that bad, folks. Paying to help. I realize our government probably charges more than they should. Biblically, they are charging more of a percentage than God allowed Israel to charge the Israelites. They weren't allowed to charge that percentage. And there were other things that went on. Do we willingly render to what is our governments? Do we really render to our God? We think first, there are those things that are Caesar's. Listen, Romans chapter 13, the Bible said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. We have governments and authorities over us. Whether it be your mother, whether it be your father, whether it be your boss, whether it be a school teacher or administrator, whether it be law enforcement, whatever. Render to, it said, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. But there is no power that is authority but of God. Every authority that exists, be it military, government, police, whatever it may be, are designed by the heart and mind of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Didn't say man, did he? You say if you resist paying your taxes, you're resisting God. You say, my government's not taxing me right. I grant you they're not. And there are legal ways in which we as citizens can do something about that. But withholding them is not one of them. I'd like to keep a little bit more of mine if you want the truth. But I don't have an object right now. I don't have any other means to do that. And so until legally something can be done to change it, I still want to pay my taxes. I still need that military. I still need government services to help those that are in need. I still need government protection. I still need the things that God gives us through good government that God has ordained. Now, he tells them in verse 6 of Romans 13, for this cause pay ye tribute. Also, for they are God's ministers. Did you ever think the government are ministers of God? That they're ministers of God. He said, attending continually upon this very thing, the taxes. They're doing God's work. I find it, when I read it, I looked at my thought, Lord, that's kind of hard to look up and say, Mr. IRS, you're a minister of God. You're doing the Lord's work. It doesn't mean they aren't twisting it and ruining it. Tax collectors were doing the government's work, and they were underhand. They were getting Jewish people to do it. Remember Nicodemus? God didn't criticize. Jesus did not get onto him because he was a tax collector. He got onto him because he was crooked. And he got onto him twice because he not only was crooked, he was a Jew and he knew better. He shouldn't have lived that way in front of a wicked enemy. He should have lived righteously. The law required a Jewish young man, if he got caught by a soldier and he threw his pack down, required him to carry 1 mile with him. Jesus said, when your mile is up, carry it one more. Now, before you can carry it the first mile and willingly carry it the second mile, you've got to have a heart to carry both. You've got to have a heart change to carry it both. Governments have territories. That's land. They have taxes. Why? There's bills due and bills to be paid. Hey, that's life, isn't it? I'm glad we have a government. It'd be kind of messy to be living out here in this world and there's no government. Where every man does, that's what's right in his own lives and become bad lands and outlaws wherever you go. We have a law on the land and we have a government for a reason. Now, Caesar has benefits. Hard to imagine that, but think about it. The God did not render the difference between the two. God did not say one's bad, one's good. God placed both on the same plane. Said, render to one what is theirs, but render to God what's his also. Listen, Caesar has benefits. If you tax, if you pay, if you give, if you take what's rightfully the government's and place it in his hands to use. Romans 13 tells us again in verse 3, it says, do that which is good and thou shalt have praise of the same. What's the government call you if you pay your taxes and he says you're a tax-paying, law-abiding citizen? You don't have a record. You're not a criminal when they look up your name, your license plate. They see you're a law-abiding citizen. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. We find it hard to imagine that taxes are good, but God said they were. For this cause pay ye tribute also. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor, we render. Why? See, that's more than money, isn't it? That's place, respect, and honor. See, God didn't say, well, if he lives right, you're to honor him. God said if he's in that position, he's in authority, honor him. A president may not have the morals of an alley. He may have the morals of an alley cat. But he's the president, and God said honor him, he's in authority. A little bitty alderman in a city nobody even heard of, maybe one of the most beloved, best. I mean, look, in Jesus' day, there was a centurion. The Jews said to Jesus about a centurion, this man loves us. Why, he even built us a temple. He's the only Roman centurion mentioned in the Bible, took his hard money and built a church building for the Jews to worship in. He had to love them to do that. Do you not think that God was not using that authority that that man wielded to direct the affairs of his people so they had a meeting house where they could come and worship God like he wanted? Sure he was. Caesar's benefits are there. He won't come hunt you down with a knife to cut your head off. He won't come grab your family and throw them in debtor's prison. He won't confiscate everything you got and make a public slave out of you. No, he said, render unto Caesar what's his. Caesar does have penalties, though. Jesus said, why tempt me, ye hypocrites? He called them hypocrites. Why? Because he knew that they had no more desire to tax than they did to give to God. They were hypocrites. They were giving off this, we're patriotic. We got Christians today that are sitting in God's churches, and barely everybody in the world knows they're patriotic. They'll fight at the drop of a hat. They believe in the old red, white, and blue, but they're God robbers and thieves, and God's calling them hypocrites. And we got Christians sitting in pews today that give their tithes and offerings and love God and give money to mission fields and gripe and complain and rob and steal from their government, and God calls them also hypocrites. God said, render to both. Why? Because a person that would do so, Caesar says, you're a cheat, you're a crook, you're a criminal. And we know what happens to those folks, don't we? That's why we have prisons. Work programs. Verse 3 of that Romans 13 said, for rulers are not a terror, but good works, but to the evil. They're not a terror to good works. They're a terror to those that do evil. You see, if you're going down the interstate and you're abiding by the 55-minute mile-an-hour speed limit and 14 policemen surround you, you don't have to worry about it. They're not going to stop you for speeding. They might stop you for something else, but they will not stop you for speeding. Have you broken the law of speeding? You're not speeding. Look at it this way. God's given you a 14-car police car escort to work. No robber's going to rob you. Nobody's going to run you off the road. No idiot drive-by shooting going to get you. They got to go through 14 officers first. You just might have got in the middle of something you didn't want to get into, but do you panic? Use it. But let me say something. If you're doing 70 and 14 of them surround you, you get nervous real quick when them lights come on, don't you? You know why? Because that's what he meant by they're a minister evil to them that commit evil. It meant they're bringing you into judgment because you didn't render. You didn't render to God. You know, deficit in our country is due more to spending than it is to taxes anyway. You know, most Christians, the problem they have in their giving to God is not because they don't have, it's because they spend wrong. I can't afford to give. If you look at the average Christian's finances today, you know, and I'm telling the truth and you know it too, it's more because they got a spending problem than a deficit problem. They wouldn't have a deficit problem if they spent according to God's will and not theirs. You know why I know that? And you say that to a Christian in person, and the first thing they do is, yeah, but I don't see anything wrong, but they give you every excuse in the world. They start backpedaling and backing up in a heartbeat instead of saying, you're right. I bought it. I shouldn't have bought it. I didn't pray about it. I didn't ask God. By the way, isn't that the attitude we ought to have? If you've bought anything without praying about it, that's God's money and time, and you're His body and person. Where do we get doing things with God's stuff without asking? You see, there are the things that belong to government, but there are the things that... The things belong to the government, but let me remind you, all things belong to God. You see, Caesar only has some things. Okay? God didn't differentiate. Christ did not differentiate between that. He said, render to Caesar the things of Caesar, the things of God, things that belong to God. But by God's law, God, He has all things. Psalms 20, four times in the Bible, God says this. He says this for us to get. Four times. Number one, and by the way, twice in the New Testament, Paul will repeat this because the bunch he was with in Corinth were a legalistic Christianity. They did not render to Caesar nor to God. They didn't have their heart right, and he knew that. And they also knew they respected the teachings of David. He was a revered saint of Old Testament times to them. And he remembers that verse in Psalms 24:1: "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein." I think that means everything. If they didn't get that, he went over to the 89th Psalm, verse 11, and repeated again, "The heavens are thine, not only the earth, but everything up there too. And the earth also is thine. For as for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast foundest them." Lord, not only they're yours, but they're yours because you made them. You know why the Lord's the owner of everything? He made it, that's why. Caesar did not make the earth. He might tax what's in it, but he didn't make it. And God moved Caesar out of the way, didn't he? And every government that gets in God's pattern and gets in God's mess that doesn't belong to them, God does take care of that government. Because it's all His anyway. Paul then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26 and 28, repeats, "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Twice identical. He reminds the Corinthian Christians, listen, you love David. David told you, let me tell you, you don't own nothing. He owns it all. You own nothing. We own it all. Now, God owns things. He owns time. He owns talents. He gives them to us. He owns treasures, everything in here. And He owns the tithe. Now, that's unique, isn't it? Because it's just 10% of a gross is all it is. He owns it all anyway, all 100% of it. But He has depicted, He has specified what to do exactly with the 10%. If you please, God has taken the age of grace and He has made a law out of at least 10% of it. You see, the law says I have to give, what is it now, almost 36% of my income in taxes. And God says, I only want 10. And the law says, give me that 36. As a matter of fact, they don't wait for me to give it in love. They don't wait for me to say, "Woo, I'm giving my offering to the government." No, they snatch it out of my check before I even see a thing. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that with His tithe? Aren't you glad God doesn't say, "Wait a minute, I ain't got my tithes and my offering out this month." You see, tithe, you know, is going to be 10%. But God said offering. That's not fixed. That's between you and God. I am convinced there's a lot of Christians sitting in God's churches today that are giving their tithes, but they aren't giving God the offering that He wants. They're just throwing something in, calling it offering. That's a hypocrite. That's lying. You say, well, how do you know? Because they haven't prayed and asked God what He wants them to give. To pass their guilt away, and that's humanism, they just put something in and said, well, that's extra, that's an offering. That's a lie. That's not what the Bible teaches. An offering is not what you determine it is. An offering is what God determines it is. You see, the Bible said the just shall live by faith. You said, Brother Don, it takes faith to give my tithes to the church. Oh, yeah, you better believe it because you know what your check is. And you know what your bills are. But it takes faith to go beyond that and say, Father, I realize all of it's yours. Here's the 10%. You said put it in church. That's where I put it in storehouse. Now, Lord, you said give an offering too. I have no idea what you want there. But it's all yours anyway, so what you want me to live on is up to you. You realize it's all God's money. He's just letting you stick your hand in His till to pay your bills. If you will love Him and serve Him, He'll do that. And His till that He'll let you stick your hand in will always pay. It's like the widow whom the preacher came and said, the prophet came and said, give me, feed me first. And she gave him the little biscuit and gave him the little cruse. And the Bible said because of her faithfulness to do what she should have, God said until the famine was over, every time she reached in there, it was enough for one more meal for her and her son. Every time. When the famine quit, then it stayed. It was done. The last meal was eaten. The last bark was taken out. But every time they needed something to eat, she just dipped it and cooked it and ate it. Because she did by faith render unto God what was God's. That little measure, that tiny bit, what we might call a tithe. You see, God has blessings too if we'll give unto Him what's His. God said in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes. He didn't say part of it. We as Christians have this tendency to determine. We like to legislate or dictate or restrict what God tells us to do. And somehow we think we're still doing what God wants. For instance, God said, let every man, upon the first day of the week, let every man lay by him in store as God had prospered. Some of us don't get paid weekly. We get paid biweekly. Some of us get paid monthly. God knows that. Then monthly or weekly or biweekly, that's when your tithes are due. That's when your offerings are due. That's when God wants you to give. He said, well, I get paid by week, but I only give once a month. Then you're a hypocrite and you're disobeying God. You're not giving like God's Word teaches. You're not being obedient to God. You found a means where you think you are being pleasing to the Lord, but you're not. He made it very clear how to do it, why to do it, when to do it, where to do it. But here's the thing. The government has never... I paid my taxes now for... I guess I started filing when I was 19. I'm 55. And I have never one time ever got a letter from the government saying, we want to thank you for paying your taxes. You're a good citizen. I've never even seen them write an article and put my name in the paper and say, these are people that pay their taxes. There he is, Don Von Busker Jr. These are people, citizens, that pay their taxes. They've never done that either. I've never even had the government say, look, we haven't got much because we're hard times, but here's $10. Don't get a hamburger on us because you pay taxes. He's never done that. And he's never promised to do it either. But you know, God has promised in His Word that if I'll be obedient and render, give willingly my tithes and my offering, God has said, I will not only recognize you, I will not only return to you, I'll do it in such a way you can't contain it. You'll get it back in a way in which it will overflow whatever container it is that's holding it. God made it very clear. God said here that bring all the tithes in the storehouse. Why do we tithe? Why do we give? God made it very clear in one verse of the Bible. He said that there may be meat in mine house. Not steak, not chicken. That ain't what He's talking about. Though I like those. He meant meat, substance, to take care of my work. Meat was an Old Testament word that meant substance or that which would take care of the situation or meet the need. He said, literally, you bring your tithes, you bring your offerings, that my house and the work in my house can continue. Why? Because, folks, angels didn't do it. They live on heaven's dust. I don't know what they eat. We don't know. And spirits didn't do it. They can flow in and out of walls. They didn't do it. Men did it. People did it. And they got to eat. And they got lights to pay, and they have children to raise, and they got clothes to put on them. And that takes some kind of monetary material. And God said, you tithe. It's my plan. You tithe. And before you say, well, preachers preach on tithing so they can get more money. May I remind you, under Old Testament law, the priest also had to tithe? And may I remind you that even the high priest had to tithe once a year. Who the priest tithe to the church, to the storehouse? Why? So the high priest had something. He was forbidden, the high priest of God in the Old Testament was forbidden by law of God to work outside his duties in the temple and the tabernacle in the ministry of God. He was not supposed to go get a job. He was not supposed to get an unemployment plan. He was not supposed to get welfare. He was not supposed to work one. Because he had a task God assigned to him. It was an awesome and serious task that could cost him his life if he didn't do it right.
Now, if God came to me today and said, "Well, Don, I want you to pastor, you don't do it right, nothing but that, I want you working, pastor," I'll kill you if you don't do it right. Folks, you will find me building a room in this building. I will move my family in and we will live in the attic.
We will live in the house. We will stay in it.
We will work in it. We will serve in it. We will pray in it. I'll preach in it. I will do what he said. I don't know about you, but dying is not really impressive to me. Having God kill me is just not on the top list of my kick the bucket rules, okay? That's not one of the last things I want to do before I go. No! They were under penalty of law if they didn't. You know why God got on to Israel one day in Jeremiah? Because God said, I looked down and I saw my priests were on the unemployment line. My priests were out working the fields. My priests were out fishing and tending nets. And God said, Israel, I'm going to beat daylights out of you until you get it fixed. I'm going to curse you. I'm going to whoop you. I'm going to skin you alive with every crooked person I can find. You're going to be at the mercy of the hoodlums. I'm going to do it till you get right and start doing what you're supposed to. Not always necessarily for the right of the priest, but because God's work could not be done in reaching and teaching his people because they weren't doing what God simply said. And by the way, God didn't say you are supposed to take care of it. God said do what you're supposed to do. I believe with all my heart, and our churches, God-fearing churches, if every Christian sitting in a God-believing church today would say, from this day forward, I'm going to tithe and give an offering. If everyone did it in a member of that church, God would take care of its needs. You say, Brother Don, they'd always have enough. I didn't say that. I did not say they'd always have enough from those tithes and offerings to pay things, because, folks, life happens. You know what? I have a budget. I plan on things. My wife and I planned on being married and having a good time for 2 years. We're going to settle down and have kids. We planned on traveling a little bit. You know, that was we got married. That was in June. And September, my wife was feeling like she had the flu. And she went and saw the doctor, and he said, "It's not the flu, honey. It's that 9-month thing." A child came in and messed up all our plans. Matter of fact, I was wanting to go to college. I had to cram 4 years in college into 13 to get my first degree. And I'm 55 and still working on my master's degree. I'm telling you, folks, when things happen. But I am telling you this. You tithe and you give and you obey God and you render to what Caesar's and you render to what God's. God said, I will rebuke the cankerworm. I will rebuke the enemy. I will rebuke the deficit. I will rebuke the bad. I will rebuke the blight. I will rebuke the tankworm. I will keep that which deteriorates from walking down the same path you lead. God bless the nation of Israel. I'm a dad. I've had 5 kids. I got 3 grandchildren. I'd love to find the cloth the Israelites made the clothes out of, wouldn't you, when they were traveling the wilderness? It just took them clothes like 9 years. But because they were going where God told them to be, God said their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out. Now, can you imagine, Sister Junior having them pair of shoes till he's 15? That means one of two things. His feet don't grow or his shoe does. And you know exactly the truth, don't you? In the wilderness, they grew. God let their shoes grow with them. You say, how is that possible? Don't ask me. It's just our impossible God that can do anything but faith. I mean, how in the world did he find enough manna, rain from heaven, to feed his children every day when they was giving birth to babies faster than you can blink an eyeball? I mean, they left Egypt. They estimate was somewhere around 3 men. They went into the land of Canaan somewhere around 6. How'd he have enough every day? Did he have to check the birth records against the death records? No, he's God. He already knew. Because you render unto Caesar what Caesar's done to God, what's God's. God has blessings. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. But Don, I can't afford to give. Listen to me. Can you really afford to miss this verse? How's God going to give if you give? If you honor God and tithe and give your offering, how's he going to give? He said, he'll give good measure. Let's stop right there and just say, good measure means equal. That means the measure which you meet will be met again. If you gave your tithe this week, and you gave an offering this week, and God said, okay, I'll give it back to you. In some means, maybe not money, maybe in substance, maybe in food, maybe in health, maybe in protection, but God give it back. That would be a blessing by itself, but he don't stop there. He said, good measure. Press down. I pour things into a bucket and then shake it. And when you shake it, press it down, there's more room in there now. You see, I didn't press it down and give it to God. I just gave the law. I gave out of the heart what he said. But God said, that's not the way I operate, folks. I will give it to you shaken. A good measure and shaken. Pressed down. I'll press it down. Shaken together. Now here's the lovely part.
Run over.
What that means is it's not wasted. It means more than you can contain. God said, I pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to contain. Same verse, same thing. Running over. Shall men give in your bosom? For with the same measure you meet, the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. God said, listen, we got Christians sitting in God's churches today, and they're not tithing biblically. Now, they're giving 10%, all right, baby, but they're not giving an offering. They're tithing the other $22.22, and they're tossing in the half a cent, saying, well, that's your offering, Lord. That's hypocritical. They're hypocrites. They're not rendering unto God. They may be obeying the law and giving the tithe, and they'll not get cursed for that because there is a curse for it. But they're not getting the blessing of having it shaken, running over, pressed down, good measured that God gives. You borrow a cup of sugar from your neighbor. I can remember as a kid, my mother sent me down the road with family and get a cup of sugar. They were cooking, and I'd go get a cup of sugar. And she'd give me that cup full. My mother, when she got ready to pay it back, my mother sent me back over a sack. Well, 1 or 2 or 5 pound bag. And I scratched my head thinking, Mom, you only bought a cup. She said, I know, but we get extra. We just heap it a little bit because we're making it. You know what Mama's doing? A biblical principle? God's doing for you? That's that little extra. That's that running over part. That's that measure more part.
You do that to this lost, dying world's going to hell. You meet their needs. You free up what God's got in your pocket to your life and free up so God can use it. And God will make sure that you are a freight train of supply. By the way, every freight train of supply, the conductor is on it. If God lets him deliver 100 cars of steaks, he's not eating chicken that day, folks. He's not eating bologna. He's eating steak. If God lets him deliver a truckload of Armani suits, he's not wearing overhauls from Kmart. He's wearing what's on the load. God will bless you and let you live in the midst of what he's delivering and what he's blessing. I often wonder why Christians today take the cheat road out in God's name. I'm thrilled. I'm so glad that we have people in our church that really are in agreement with me that they want things to look like their top first class. I'd rather spend $100, amen, on one bulletin board that pops and makes everybody look at it and go, wow, God's your supply. That's first class. Than to spend $100 on 10 bulletin boards all year long. They're like cheap garbage thrown up there. You're not impressing anybody with what's going on. And you're not telling anybody how frivolous you are, how careful you are with God's money either. You're telling everybody how scared death you are, God ain't going to be able to do it again. That God's a scrimper. You got to scrimp with God to help him get along. If he owns the world and everything in it, the cattle on 1,000 hills, that goes with it too, then why are you bringing in a sick anemic chicken and tossing it to God saying, well, I want to use God's money wisely. Why don't you let God take and do what he wants? I'm so glad God didn't say to the children of Israel, I'm so glad God said, take a lamb, and they're expensive, by the way, a purebred, and use it for a sacrifice. I'm so glad when he said, take a bullock, take a beef. Aren't you glad God didn't say, y'all go down and get you a crow, make sure it ain't got no blemishes on now, and y'all can use that for sacrifice. That's cheap junk. You can get a crow anywhere. You can get old crow anywhere you want to go. But it takes something to give a cow. It takes something to give some hefty beef. It takes something. And God pays in tremendous blessings. There is curses. God said in Malachi 3:8, he said, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. And they said, wherein have we robbed thee? God said in tithes and offerings, you're not giving me what's mine, what I ask you to give. He said, because of that, verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Later he would tell them that it's like a bag with holes in it. No matter how much they think they've got, I'll send them a bill, take it away. If you don't tithe, you know this is true, don't you? Bills show up you didn't know you had. Stuff shows up. That's why you think you can't afford to tithe. Because you got all this stuff that you brought on yourself and you can't see the daylight for the end of the tunnel that you've created.
You can't even believe you can even see daylight again. But there was a day when you did. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 1 said, "And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe," if he's going to pay back his tithe that he stole from God, he said, "he shall add thereunto a fifth part thereof." If you owe $100 to God, God said, when you get right and you want to pay that $100, make it $120. You're not right with me yet. You owe me an interest. Wow. Well, that's a penalty for stealing from God. By the way, that's an awful small penalty compared to what will happen to you if you owe the IRS $100 and don't pay it. They'll jack your house up and drive it out from under you and leave you on the street naked. And you know I'm telling the truth. That's the law operating. That's why. The law is heartless, folks. The law could care less about your emotions, your background, your upbringing, your culture, anything. It wants what it says it's its. And it'll take blood. And if you can't get the blood, it'll steal and mash the turnip to get it. So don't try that on the law. But Jesus is God is grace. Numbers 5:7, he said it again. Then they shall confess their sin, which they have done, and he shall recompense his treasure with the principal thereof, and add unto it a fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. That could be also God and individual. That's why this verse right here, Numbers 5:7, is why Zacchaeus up the tree when he got saved told the Lord, "If I've taken anything from anybody, I'll give him a fourth of everything else that I've taken also. If I took 100, I'll give him 125. By the way, a fourth is more than a fifth. You know what that boy got? He got saved. But he had the right Christian heart. He was going to give what was due back. And he gave an offering. He'd written it. He didn't get it took from him. He gladly gave it. And he gave more. And by the way, what did God say to him? Something that was a total blessing he never expected. "Go on now, son. I'm eating dinner at your house, baby." Jesus never said that to you. Who else did he say in the Bible? In public, "I'm going to go eat that man's house today. Because of his heart, I'm going to go eat where he's at. I'm going to go eat in his house today." Wow. Wouldn't you love to hear the Lord tell you that and show up on the afternoon and say, "Well, I'm here. I'm come to eat in your house today. Hey, get all your neighbors around. I want them to know I'm in your house today to eat." That was such a thrill to poor little Zacchaeus. That's the last thing he ever expected. He expected to get right with God. He expected to do right by God. He never expected God to not only bless him and reward him and be glad with him, but to give him that running over stuff. Show up at his own house, unashamed to be named as one of his friends, one of his associates, and dine with him. To dine with someone in this time in Bible history is equivalent to causing that person to be equal with you as a human being. It was saying to the world, "I and this person have many things in common. We are as if family." That's what it means. Listen, last I checked, the IRS never been my family. Ain't never been my goody. Ain't never been my brother or sister. But the Lord said, "That's the way I look at it. Because of his heart. Why do you tempt me?" he said. "To rob God of those things that are dedicated to his servants." Christians do it often. They rob him because they're a thief. They're a burglar. That word thief means burglar. Shoplifter takes something sneakily that didn't belong to you. Lawbreaker. Didn't say they convicted of it, but they guilty of it anyway. Whether they did it or not, they're guilty of it, the Bible said. You see, when we steal from God, we take from God. That's why we're looked at as a cheat and a crook and a criminal. You say, "What does a church have, Brother Don? What do we have all this money? Why is it so important?" I'll tell you why. Churches have all various things today. Not just the ministries and the people, but think about it. A little simple thing. We got water bill too. You get a drink of water at church, that had to be paid for. That's part of what tithes and offerings do. It's part of the ministry. By the way, even in Jesus' day, they had to feed and drink. Hit 5,000 people out there. He said, "Give ye them to eat." They said, "Lord, we've checked. We ain't got enough. We got one day's salary. That's not going to buy this many meals for everybody." Jesus said, "Set them down. What do you have?" They said, "All we've got really is a little kid here's got a snack pack. He'd bring it here and set them down." When God was done, they got to keep their money and 12 baskets on top of it. And everybody went home with a full belly. Why? They were willing to render to God what God could have control over. You see, it's not a matter of giving to God and walking away and saying, "Well, I don't have." No, you give to God. God now takes what he has control over, and God uses it in a miraculous way to do great things. Churches have electricity and natural gas and gasoline and insurance, teaching materials. They have devices in their church, bulletins, flyers, copiers, building repairs, paint and wood and glass and benevolence, needed families and things that come up, and staff like missionaries and workers on staff, pastors, phones, missions and guests and mortgages. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And no matter what generation it was in, God said, that's what the tithe and offering is for. That's what it's for. Look, in the Old Testament, it was no different. In the Old Testament, they had a tabernacle, a temple, a building. They had priests that had to eat every day, and they worked every day from daylight to dawn. And animals had to be brought in, and slaughters had to be done, and offerings had to be made, and atonements had to be done, and the food had to be stored a certain way, and the priests could get from that, and they all gave so the high priest could be taken care of, and the work of God continued. But in the minute they stopped giving, whoop, the brakes went on. Wow. We need some water for the holy water. We need some water for the service today. Well, we can't get none because we didn't get enough money this week to take care of the water bill. So we ain't got no water. We got to do without it. How'd you like to come to church next Sunday and get here and there's no water? Everything else is here. We ain't got no water in the building nowhere. No water. Can you imagine going 2:30, going from 10 o'clock in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon as we do here in the service? Not one drop of water all day long. And the reason is not because somebody's thought, reason because God's people didn't tithe. They did not give like they should. They did not give their tithes and offerings as they should. Now, I didn't say some did, some didn't. But when some don't that should and others do that should, God's work still suffers. And to the percent they don't, then that's just the way it goes. It hurts, doesn't it? You've been there. You got a home. You got a family. We call it more month than money. Sometimes the problem is not more month than money. You got the same 30 days everybody else got. Sometimes the problem is you spent more money before the month is over. Money that you should not have spent without getting clearance on it. You see, that's what's wrong with our federal government today. That's why we got, $11 trillion in debt almost. You know why? They spend more than they make. And what happens every time they roll around? They have to get Congress to pass an extension on the debt. Well, you know what that literally means? That's the government willingly, freely saying, we want to remain in debt a little bit longer. We don't want to take care of this problem right now. We want to debt it a little bit more. And one day they're going to pass that on to who? The little precious kid sitting back here. You see, when I was a kid, the government was only in debt maybe $400 or $500 million. That's a lot in my book. But these poor children sitting in this pew today are inheriting $17 trillion debt by the time they get old enough to get a job. In my day, when I was a kid growing up, if a man had to get supplemental help from the government, or he had to get his payments coming in, he got full benefit. He could actually live off of it. Matter of fact, today, you know the government, today the burial amount wouldn't even get a company, wouldn't it? You do not, $250, what they give. That's not even enough for you to hire a guy to come out and take a hole and drop your body in. What are you going to do with $250? You won't even be able to pay the paper bill on your death. Your death certificate costs more from the government than $250. What happened? The nation, America, quit giving to God, quit rendering to God what was God's and rendering to Caesar what was Caesar's. We started trying to find every way we could get out of doing what was right by our government and God. The two G's in our life, and we decided we didn't want either one of them. And you know what the problem with that is, don't you? God designed the governments and authorities of this world, and they operate on the law. And the law said, I'll cut your head off. And the law has been hard. It's a hard taskmaster, isn't it? But our God is a merciful one. If you'll give, he said, I'll make sure when it's a... Do you realize that... Do you realize that the famine in the land of Egypt was the worst economic famine that history of mankind has ever known? Recorded history teaches us that that economic ruin from that famine was so devastating. And do you realize the Israelites ate steak? They didn't eat chump food. The Egyptians might have, but they didn't. Why? God did not... By the way, they didn't live on ground. They looked like Skid Row either. They lived in the ocean. They had green grass. They had nice houses. They had good. They had the best part of the country. They had the plush place of Egypt to live in. And God took care of them through his servant, Joseph, who said, you know, I can't do it all, but I'm going to give God what I got.
Yeah, I know he went to prison. I know he was in a foreign land. I know he was in captivity till the day he died. But listen to me. I'd rather be in God's will in captivity than I would be anything else. And the reason is because Jesus said when he got that coin, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and God the things that are God. I believe if Anchor Baptist Church gave as they should, if we gave our tithes and offerings as we should, I believe if we gave our taxes, if we gave like we're supposed to, I believe God would begin to do miraculous and wonderful things. He would allow us to have money to take care of things for missionaries and stuff like you can't imagine.